I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
All right, so the big news yesterday was the Big Ten conference games only for fall sports. I'd been told back in the spring that this was a possibility. We brought it up yesterday as the rumor started to percolate, and then ESPN reported the Big Ten was likely going to do this, and then the Big Ten later in the day confirmed it. There are more details to come out, but suffice it to say, this obviously impacts Michigan and Michigan State. Wolverines, no trip to Washington. Michigan State will not go to BYU.
They will not host Miami.
They will not host Miami. And look, we could start with this. Michigan fans, any of you, were you planning on going to Washington? Michigan State fans, any of you planning on going to BYU? I mean, when you head to some of these, I'm going to use this term loosely, some of these exotic locales, but some of these places that you don't typically go, you know, you'll maybe say, hey, let's make that trip. You know, because Michigan has played in Washington. In my lifetime, I think they've played there twice. Spartans have never played at BYU, if I can recall. Do you ever
remember? I don't remember them playing at BYU. And when I was a kid, this would have been my dream matchup.
Yeah, you love BYU.
They were just quarterback university. I was and reading about back in the day, before the internet, you could only read about stuff. And Sports Illustrated had their mountain region that I would read about. And every week there'd be an article about Jim McMahon throwing for 400 yards in the first half and 7 touchdowns.
Right.
Before that, you know, Mark Wilson and then Steve Young and all that. It was fantastic.
So Wolverine and Spartan fans, love to hear what your reaction is to this news. If you're planning on making that trip, Michigan going to Washington, Michigan State going to BYU. There's also much speculation that the conference will add a 10th game to the schedule. So right now, both Michigan and Michigan State have 9 conference games, all Big Ten teams do, and this is the year that the East has 5 home games and the West has 4 road games. So if they add a 10th game, Gator, it's going to be a road game. So there's only so many possibilities of who those teams can be. And in Michigan's case, they will add a game at Illinois or at Nebraska or at Iowa or at Northwestern. Michigan State will add a game at Illinois or at Nebraska or at Purdue or at Wisconsin. Now, in Michigan's case, as it stands right now, one of those teams has the same bye week as Michigan, which is October 31st, I believe. So Michigan could travel to Iowa. However, don't expect it to go down that way. It sounds as though what the Big Ten, like the Big Ten, is going to move everything to the front of the schedule to provide more flexibility. You heard that word come out of the Big Ten a lot yesterday. Flexibility, flexibility. I'm going to bet, Gator, that the schedule gets somewhat reshuffled in that all the games will be moved to an opening week of all 14 teams playing September 5th, Saturday, September 5th. And that'll be week one. And then they'll schedule 10 straight weeks of football. And if they need to push it back a week, then opening week will be September 12th if there's COVID issues, September 19th if necessary. They can only go back so far, but they're going to try and play these 10 games before Thanksgiving. And there's even talk that they'll front end load it with all your division games, which could get really weird because obviously, it's a total reshuffle of the schedule. And in Michigan's case, they won't end with their traditional game against Ohio State if they do that, because they're trying to protect the division games the most. And they just never know when they're going to have to stop the season.
Right. But if, I mean, it's not like math's on their side trying to get 10 games in before Thanksgiving. That's not an issue.
Well, what's the issue is they never know when they have to stop the season, pause the season. If a team or two has a COVID outbreak and they just, that'll allow them the flexibility of pausing the season and waiting for those cases to clear. So that's why they would try and move everything to the front. Now, who knows what our situation, our country is going to be in as it comes to the battle against COVID come September. It could be way better. It could be the same, and it could be worse. So, it, you know, to me, this looks like an effort to get 10 games in and allow themselves the most flexibility as possible.
Well, I'm all for whatever gets college football going. And if they made this decision to go to all conference games, you know, that's fine. I mean, I know it's going to save on travel money. They're going to save some cost elsewhere. So that's fine. Try to make things as safe as possible. And it's all contingent on what happens with the student population. Because it's as much as we want to think that it's about making sure that the kids on the field are going to be, it's about all the kids returning to school, all the people that are involved with the school. It's not just the students, it's the faculty, it's the staff, it's the custodial staff, it's people working in the dorms, it's all that. It's not just about, you know, your 18 to 23 year old that goes to college. It's about everybody involved in the college. So they have to make it safe for everybody, and let's hope that they can do that.
248-539-9797 if you have any thoughts and comments on this possibility. Because if they only play 10 games and they're all conference games, of course, one of the questions that comes up is there any chance of there being a college football playoff? And according to ESPN, the college football playoff committee has made the comment, we'll be what ready for whatever. So, you know, if the Big Ten only plays in a conference, it doesn't mean that they won't be able to put a team in the playoff. In fact, interestingly, in some teams' cases, adding a conference game and eliminating the non-conference schedule could make that team's schedule tougher than it was. Not necessarily in the case of Michigan and Michigan State. I mean, if you drop a Miami and BYU and pick up at Illinois, well, it probably got easier. But if you
pick up
at Wisconsin.
Right, at Wisconsin, that would certainly be different. What's the other team? Nebraska is the possibility.
Yeah, Michigan State's got Illinois, Nebraska, Purdue, Wisconsin as being their 10th game. Michigan's got Illinois, Nebraska, Iowa, Northwestern. But those would be the games that they could possibly add if they do add a 10th game. Now, if things get way better, like way better, could they possibly add three more games and play a 12-game only conference schedule? Suppose they could.
No.
Why not?
Because I think it seems like they're married to this. I don't think they're going to push it. I just don't see it. I don't think that they're going
to. What makes you think they're married to this?
It's a gut feeling, I guess, because all the talk is about 10 games. I haven't heard a single thing about possibly adding more to the schedule. I mean, they've not only they decided to trim the schedule, but they're just going all conference. So I don't think. Yeah,
I did talk to somebody who said 12 would be in play if things get way better. 6 is in play if things get way worse, because 6 would be your division games. So, yeah. I mean, it depends on if we go to one extreme or the other, for what it's worth. 248-539-9797. Ticket text to the same number. Your thoughts on this news yesterday? The Big Ten Conference is basically on lockdown. An interesting quote from Heather Dinich. She talked to somebody from ESPN and the Big Ten about what the Big Ten's approach to this is, and it made me wonder how they really feel. We'll get to that today at 10:20. It's Carson Anderson, 97.1 The Ticket. Doug Carr, Scott Anderson, 97.1 The Ticket, open lines, 248-539-9797. Big Ten goes on a bit of a Midwest quarantine / East Coast, I guess, with Maryland and Rutgers lockdown. So they will only play each other this year. That announcement was made yesterday after the show. 248-539-9797.
Let's go to the phones, and Brian is in Canton. Brian, welcome to 97.1 The Ticket.
Gentlemen, I'm going to tell you, this is the way it's going to work. This is the countdown to shutdown, like I told the screener. They're going to do just like Governor Whitmer did. This is, we're just going to do, you know, conference play, then it's going to be, home games only, and then it's going to be, you know what, we can't do this. We had some outbreaks. We got to shut it down. I totally believe, I'd bet money, that we do not see football at all, or at least in a very small way. And then, look, man, I'm a Michigan season ticket holder. Decide who gets to go to these darn games, man. I mean,
I'm sorry. What you're breaking? You're breaking up there. What was that, Brian?
Okay. He said he was a Michigan season ticket holder, and he wanted to know who gets to decide who goes to the games. Let's get to the first thing. Is it possibly the first step towards a shutdown?
Yep.
Yeah.
Absolutely. I also think it's a step closer to moving everything to the spring. Look, one of the things is, just like every business out there, athletic departments have a bottom line. Athletic departments have a budget. Athletic departments have a staff. Athletic departments have bills to pay, right? I mean, it's no different than anything else. So the athletic departments, if they can move to the spring in hopes of there being a vaccine and sell tickets, they'll do it because, just like every other business, they have bills to pay and staff to pay and budgets to meet. And it's a lot easier to do it if you insulate in the conference and only have to work around those parameters. I go back to that word that I heard from Kevin Warren, the Big Ten commissioner, from Gene Smith, the Ohio State athletic director that talked on this. Those are the two I heard, and they both kept saying flexibility. Well, the flexibility is, I think we're going to get a 10-week schedule which has all the conference division games at the front, and week one will be scheduled for September 5th, but if they have to, week one will be September 12th or September 19th. Or if two or three teams get COVID outbreaks, they can pause in week four, you know, after week four, and then pick up week five 2 weeks later or 3 weeks later. Or move the whole thing to the spring if it means they can sell tickets. I mean, they are trying to remain as flexible as possible. And I get it. And Brian, I think Brian's issue of who gets to go to these darn games, I don't know how they're going to decide that. Is it going to go priority to students? Is it going to go priority to big donors? Probably.
Yeah, I guess I'm in the opinion that that's like the last thing on my mind when it comes to all the things working where we get football is how many fans are going to be in the stands. I don't think that really matters, but if you want to address it, and there aren't going to be many fans in the stands if they play in the fall, I would imagine it's students first and then some kind of a lottery system for anybody else, depending on how many fans you're allowing into the stadium to begin with. As far as a switch to the spring is concerned, if they switch to the spring and we do have a vaccine, I would imagine that they're going to allow fans to come to the games. And if that's the case, it would be interesting to see if they decide to go with a full schedule or go with a truncated 10-game schedule for the spring, because you start worrying about the time you have between the end of the season and the start of the fall season, and you want to make sure that they have time between.
Yeah, and you know, it might mean some moving around the schedule. Like the NHL has already moved back their start of next season, right?
Yeah,
that could happen with college football too. I mean, they could push back, you know, fall camp by a few weeks and push everything back a few weeks. And is it? All of this stuff comes with challenges.
Oh yeah,
and many of the challenges are addressable, but look, sports is no different than anything else. We have to remain flexible.
Yeah, and the Big Ten commissioner, he made it seem like a very real possibility that they're not going to have football. And he's just like, look, prepare for it. You know,
Gene Smith said the same thing.
There's no guarantees here. We have to follow the science on this thing. We're gonna, you know, we're all gonna work together and figure it out and come up with the best plan. And the best plan may be not to have football, which is very disappointing. But it is what it is. And as far as moving forward with it's concerned, if they have to, if the thought is moving it to the spring, and then that could disrupt the 2021 season in the fall. I mean, I want football, and so to me, that sure sounds great. But I'm wondering if for other people and for practical purposes of the season, is it wise to go ahead and do that and disrupt a second season and have COVID affect two seasons instead of just shutting it all down, forget football for this upcoming year, and you know, grant the players another year of eligibility. If that's the case, if they're seniors, if they're fourth year seniors, they could get another full year of eligibility in the fall.
Well, and you also have the case of like, what if the Big Ten's the only conference that does this? You basically take yourself out of the national picture, and you're going to have just a conference championship. Which I mean,
I'm going to trust the Big Ten to make the decision for the Big Ten at this point. until I want to voice another opinion. But I don't, you know, if it means they take themselves out of the national championship picture, so be it.
Yeah,
I don't
it for
really
the safety of the student athletes and this well, and the fans yeah, and everything. And yeah,
exactly. It's not just the student athletes. It's everybody involved with campus, because that's the first part that gets anything rolling is having students on campus. If students can't go to campus, there ain't going to be football.
Yep. 248-539-9797.
Matt's in St. Clair Shores. Welcome to 97.1 The Ticket. Hey, Matt.
Hey, boys. Happy Friday.
What's up,
hey,
Matt?
Same to you.
Hey, can I just rejoice that Notre Dame might not have a season because of all the conferences saying we're only playing ourselves, so we might be able to watch, like, no Golden Domers and kind of thumb our nose at these guys?
Well, I think my initial thought was yes, it's awesome, but I think the ACC is willing to help out yep. with Notre Dame.
Oh.
Because they're kind of affiliated. I know. They're kind of affiliated with Notre Dame.
Four games? What if they only get like those four ACC games? And
well, they have again, six, but yes.
All right. Yeah. Well, hey, I have an idea. So what if we just play a division schedule, but the Big Ten East plays one Saturday, and then every 2 weeks they play again? So the East plays on one Saturday, and alternating Saturday the West plays. That way, in theory, if anybody gets sick, they can be quarantined for 2 weeks and not miss another game. That way we have 12 weeks of Big Ten football. And then the winner of each division can play a conference game 2 weeks after the game, week 14, essentially. And you can keep playing the schedule, but it's just, I mean, it's a half schedule, but it allows you to, you know, treat any guys, recover any guys, quarantine well, any guys.
Matt, I think the problem with that is that you, me, Doug, we're all trying to, because we're giant football fans, we want to see it. We're trying to put maybe a professional solution onto a collegiate problem. And sure. If it's a, you know, for professional football, you're figuring any way out to get games because that's what it is. It's a business. College football, you're talking about student athletes, and it's different because everything has to be based on what the schools are doing for the students first. The student athlete part comes, it follows that because it's all about the students first.
I like
right on,
it.
I just figured it'd be a way to get around it. So, like, the East, you would have, you know, they play on the first week Saturdays, and the West goes on the second Saturdays. That way you always have Big Ten football. You have time to recover if there's any issues. Probably makes the teams feel better as well just because of random injuries that accrue during the season, and it's a semblance to keep things together. You know, maybe the Big Ten Network can do their camp one campus per season, and you can guide some sort of semblance of safety and normalcy and produce a product that's, you know, relatively different. We can be maybe the lab coat or the people that
the lab rat
first. Yeah, the lab rat rather, and then maybe this catches on throughout the other leagues, and then everyone's doing a 7-game season, and we can try to do something that brings about change in a positive way.
So. The 2 weeks between games is interesting, and it's because obviously the 2 week, you know, people are told to quarantine for 2 weeks. If you play a game and you have, you know, 14 days until you play again, it might actually be safer. Like, I don't know. I kind of like it.
Yeah. Again, I think everything is dependent on campus first.
Sure.
So,
sure.
I mean, to try to discuss things, like I said, I think it makes it seem like we're trying to find a solution for the sport and only looking at the sport, period. And I get that that's what we're trying to do, but the reality is that's not how the schools of the Big Ten Conference is going to handle
it. Yeah, if you have a huge outbreak on, let's say, Iowa City, and there's a huge portion of the population on that campus has COVID, but the football team tests clean, does the football team play a game? There's a million moving parts here, right? And they're making it up as they go because there's no template for this. 248-539-9797, Carson Anderson, open lines. I'll get to this Heather Dinich comment coming up at 10:35. A lot of feedback coming in as well. Big Ten is basically bunkering down and quarantining themselves, only playing themselves. There's news on what other conferences are thinking as well. We'll get to some of that. 97.1 The Ticket. Doug Karsh, Scott Anderson, 97.1 The Ticket. Doug Karsh at the home studio, Gator at the studio, Kang in studio as well. Kang, before we get to some of this feedback, do you have any thoughts on what we've heard so far?
No, I don't want to be pessimistic, but I just feel like it's always worse news when news comes out recently, and I get it, you know what I mean? I just feel like this is the first domino towards maybe spring football, if we're lucky. And the worst-case scenario is no football at all for the season. And I just feel like we're heading – everything always points to less and less, you know what I mean?
Yep.
Less fans, less games, less – to the point where I'm – I'm very, very concerned about where we're headed.
And it's not just, I mean, for me, it's not just football. I mean, we're talking about football and obviously talk a lot about sports here, but at the end of the day, it's all done with the caveat that it can be done safely, you know?
I mean, if safety is the biggest priority, everything gets shut down, right?
Yes.
I mean, that's what we've done with the economy with, you know, in the beginning, start of this. And so if we cannot do this safely, and if that is the number one priority, there is no football. There is no fall sports, at least for the fall.
When this whole thing started, okay, way back in the spring, I made the comment that we should lock everything down for 2-3 weeks. Give us time to get food, lock everything down, and let's try and kill it quickly. And I made an unfortunate choice of words in retrospect, where I said, and I quote, I don't care about the economy. And what I meant by that was, I don't care about my personal income. I want my family to be safe. And it was a poor choice of words because there were a lot of people being affected. But, I mean, even now, I'm like, let's shut everything down for 3 weeks, 4 weeks, and see what happens. Everybody stay home. Everybody. Like, it's not getting any better. Now, we're a little better in Michigan than we were, and we were a lot better in Michigan a few weeks ago, but as things have opened up, what has happened? I mean, we had 600 cases 2 days ago, 400 cases yesterday, and those aren't astronomical numbers, but we're trying to avoid seeing spikes like they're having in other states. And you're right. You're right. Probably the best thing to do is just say no football because we can't seem to slow the spread because we can't seem to do what is being asked to do.
Yeah, I get it, and I think that having the Big Ten commissioner speak openly as honestly as he did, I think that's exactly the take that they're looking at. And so don't be surprised.
Heather Dinich made the comment that she had talked to somebody.
And who is Heather Dinich?
What's that? Yes, Heather Dinich is a college football reporter for ESPN.
Thank you.
And she talked to somebody in the Big Ten and went on First Take this morning and said they're calling it a family bubble, like the Big Ten. And in the back of my mind, I was wondering how much of this is they don't trust what's going on in the rest of the country. In the Midwest, we've been okay, but it's gotten so bad in Texas and Arizona and all that that they're just saying, all right, let's stay isolated as best we can and not have teams from those regions coming into our region and vice versa. But here's what other conferences are thinking. According to ESPN, the Big 12 says they're committed to a full schedule. The ACC is moving towards conference games only. Don't be surprised if that happens. The Pac-12 is looking at it. Now, the SEC has been bullish about we're going to have games, we're going to have full stadiums, and we're going to have full schedules. And then the SEC commissioner yesterday, Greg Sankey, dropped that quote, I've always been optimistic, but optimism is not a strategy. And that made me think, whoa, even the SEC is reconsidering what they may do.
Well, they have to. If anybody has to, the SEC has to.
One would think.
South Carolina's been a horrible show with what's going on in their popular areas. Obviously, Florida is just a mess. And, you know, Florida's going to spread to the rest of that region. And Texas A&M, that's part of the SEC now. And that whole area is just completely upside down when it comes to COVID. You know, look at it a month ago, it wasn't the case, but obviously things have changed and they've changed for the worse. Now, hopefully the worst is behind them or they're in it right now. And now they can start to flatten that thing and get back to where they need to be. But, you know, that's optimism talking.
It's interesting how the SEC's bullish approach was obviously matched by many of the governors and the people down there. Because, I mean, this is only anecdotal, but I had friends travel to South Carolina and they said no masks, nobody paying any attention, nobody even blinked like there was anything going on, and the people looked at them cross-eyed because they had masks on. I had friends in Florida said the same thing.
Yeah.
Nashville, Tennessee, same thing. And those states in that part of the country now, it has spread like wildfire out of control. They didn't take it seriously.
Well, Wojo just got back from Florida, and then he said that they're acting like nothing's changed, that the people that are wearing the masks are totally in the minority. And, I mean, they're in the midst of seeing 8, 9, 10,000 cases a day. So I don't know what you can do. You I don't want to be too harsh and say you can't fix stupid, Doug, but that dumb.
That dumb, as Gator once famously said. All right, here's some of the feedback coming in from an unnamed texter. Guys, I love the college football talk. However, I think this is inevitable. It's just not going to happen. Just like a bad relationship that gets strung out, we are stringing this out.
Well, it right now it's happening. So I'm looking at it that way. Until I say it's not happening, it's happening.
I think you plan on having a season under any circumstance. Like Wojo, in his column, took an interesting approach. He actually said he thinks that this is good news for the Big Ten because he thinks it shows the lengths that they will go to try and safely have a college football season. And as long as it's safe, like if they can test all the student athletes, keep them, tested with the quick testing, right, on the day of the game, and have just student athletes on the field that are COVID-free, maybe this can work. But another one here in all caps from an unnamed texter: put the band in the stands before fans. Well, I'm presuming if they put the band in the stands, they can also put fans in the stands. But I think the band is a big part of college football.
Well, and if you can't have fans in the stands, does the band give it more of a feel like it's an actual game? I think it would.
Yep.
I don't have a problem if the band's there ahead of
fans. I'd love
fans.
It if the band is there. I do wonder a little bit about they've talked about how singing leads to excessive
spitting.
Yeah, expectoration. And does the same thing happen with playing of instruments? Maybe not the drums, but any of the horns?
Oh, I'm sure that's an issue. Yeah, absolutely.
I think the families of players should be in the stands. That's from Rich in Plymouth. From an unnamed texter: you guys talked about Disney and Japan opening back up, but you could not scream on roller coasters, right? Does that mean if you go to sporting events, you will be asked to not cheer? Maybe.
I don't know. This whole thing, it gets weirder and weirder. I think to try to police something like that is going to be
hard.
Really hard. And that's why I don't think it's ever going to open. Not ever, but I think for this upcoming 6 months, I don't think we're going to, as much as we want it to be as normal as possible with 20% capacity at stadiums, wherever it's going to be, it's not going to be.
Well, look, it probably won't be. I mean, the Ravens already sent out an email, right, to their season ticket holders saying we're going to have 14,000 fans. I don't think any other team has made that official announcement yet, but. And keep this in mind about the Japan thing. And it wasn't Disney in Japan. It was just they were asking people to not scream on roller coasters. But they said they really can't enforce it. They're just asking you not to do it. Another one here. This is about money, not safety. Well, look.
It's both.
Of course. I mean, many people get out of bed in the morning to go make money. Like, you're making these decisions. Yes. It's a big part of this is about money because it's a business. But the question is, and I think we'd all agree, if you can do it safely, do it. But you can't jeopardize the health and well-being of the student athletes when it comes to COVID. You have to be as responsible as possible before you put them on a football field. And if you can do it, great. If not, don't. This idea has already been proposed. I thought there were going to be 4 bye weeks. I haven't seen anything like that.
That's a lot of bye weeks.
Yep. Another one here from Scott. I actually think this would be sweet if you think about it. It puts all the emphasis back on winning the conference. I like the idea. I think it would be damn entertaining. The only thing better would be if the Pac-12 did that, and then the two champions could play in the Rose Bowl. How about that for an idea?
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.